The biggest bill that you've ever had to deal with from Grubhub or whatever your Uber Eats, whatever your delivery service of choice is, Mace, has been what?
Well, there's only two of us in the house, so you can't go too crazy. But we have ordered steak from Boa, which is definitely like a $200 thing. That's probably the most expensive. Now, I heard you guys talking about this. I am extremely proud of myself and Juan because not a single time in the month of January, did we have any food delivered?
Wow.
Really?
Yes. That was the big New Year's resolution. Stop ordering Grubhub and Uber Eats and Postmates and all that stuff. Not a single time in the month of January.
Have you
all
started
so it's February
cooking?
1st. Yeah. So what happens
That's a good point.
Now.
It's sort of like dry January, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we went delivery-free January. No, we're going to stick with this. We're going to stick with this.
Did you start?
Because it is a total waste of money. I mean, there are times, and I swear to God this is true, that I have ordered, we've ordered two donuts to be delivered from DK's Donuts in Santa Monica, which is a great donut shop, but just two donuts. So there's like a $10 charge to deliver two donuts. It is such a colossal waste of money.
How
so
good was that donut?
That.
How good was a donut when you were eating it?
You know what it was? I'll tell you what it was. It was like one of those old fashions dunked in chocolate. And then it's got kind of that hard chocolate shell. Double dip.
Let me ask you this. What time of day were these donuts delivered?
Well, I would say they were prime time.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying. And by the way, $10 to deliver the two donuts that's you funny. Just described at prime time, you would have paid triple.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, 10 o'clock at night, you don't pay as big a service charge as you do earlier in the day. But no, we're done with that. We're done with that. Done with that until we're not.
Momo, are you a delivery service person?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
A lot?
I go through stages. Like there was times, especially when I first had the baby, it was like, did we just order Postmates for the fourth time today?
Four times in
like,
one day?
Like, because I'll get something and my husband will get something, and they'll be like, oh, I want something else for dinner. Like, you know, like each of us was ordering like from a different place. I was like, what is happening right now?
This is like ridiculous. One person's going cheesecake, the other person's going PF Chang's?
No, Nevin's more like ordering some Taco Bell, and I'm like, come on, really?
Really ordering Taco Bell?
Yeah, and I'll be like a Jersey Mike's or I'll order some kind of sandwich place all the time.
Is this because you shouldn't be driving, or is this just pure laziness?
Well, I mean, I literally was like, especially when we had the newborn, I was like, I'm not going anywhere. Yeah.
Send Nevin out to go get it.
Yeah, I need him here, too. I'd rather
two
him
kids,
just be
you gotta watch
here.
One
yeah,
of
he's
them.
Gotta watch the toddler. Eh.
By the way, Taco Bell's around the corner.
It really is around the corner. It's so ridiculous.
When I say we're not having anything delivered, it does mean that there is a donut shop within, I won't call walking distance, I'll call it stumbling distance.
That helps. That helps.
It's so stupid how much money it costs, though, Mace. You're right.
It's a joke.
I'm like, I'll be sitting there and I get alerts on my phone when Nevin orders the Postmates. And I'll be like, $38 from Taco Bell. I'm like, what can you get for $38? Like, God, like I got like two burritos.
How many Mexican pizzas is that?
I think I've told you guys this story before. I was up in Northern California. I was playing in a golf tournament with some buddies, just a little thing that we do with a bunch of our college guys. But there's a little bit of money in the pot, right? So we won the tournament one year, and I won, it was like, I don't know, it was like $500. And I was 26 or 7 years, a lot of money to me at the time. And it still is a lot of money. And we're driving back. We were in a cab, of all things. This was pre-Uber and everything else. And I had $500 in my pocket, and I decided we're going to Taco Bell. And I'm in line. We've been having a good time all day long. And there's this family in line behind me. And I said to the guy, I turned around and said, you know what? On me. Whatever you guys want, get whatever you want. I just want a little money, and I'm in a good mood. This guy ordered more food for him, his wife,
to work.
And it was, you know, the little trays they put the food on?
Yes.
It was a mountain of tacos on that tray. It was like $49. You know how hard it is to spend $50 at Taco Bell? It's impossible to do. That Nevin did it is impressive.
For Devin, it's a Wednesday.
Yeah, Nevin.
It's not that. Or Nevin.
It's okay. Everybody calls him
Don't
Nordberg.
Don't worry. Sleewood doesn't remember anything about any.
This is easy.
He doesn't remember your husband.
Phil Nevin. And Nevin, it is. I got it.
Yeah, you'll remember.
That's you know what? You know what? The thing that bugs me the most is that he goes on like an Atkins diet. Sometimes he'll be like, "Oh, I'll put on some weight. I'm gonna do my no carbs." And he'll eat the most unhealthy food. I'll come home, and he's got like a plate of 5 hot dogs with bacon and cheese on it. Just the hot dog with bacon. And it smells disgusting. Like, it's like all that processed meat. Because it's not like he cooks it good. He cooks it like in the microwave or something, right? And then he'll come in to me at the end of the week. Hey, guess what? I lost 4 pounds this week. So I hate that. Come on.
By the way, the Atkins thing was gigantic. Now they're doing keto.
About 20 years ago.
A variation of Atkins. But about 20 years ago, Atkins was huge.
So
when
good.
When I was on in New York, Dr. Atkins was a regular guest.
Yeah.
The Dr. Atkins.
Yes.
And he was evangelizing about the Atkins diet. And I remember taking like a whole bunch of pastrami, throwing it in a frying pan, throwing Swiss cheese on it.
I'm on a diet.
Like as much meat and cheese as you wanted. It was crazy.
Yeah, Nevin orders Taco Bell, like, and he'll just order like 5 burritos and just not eat the tortilla.
Oh.
Momo, which part of the valley did you grow up in?
In Woodland Hills.
Woodland Hills. Okay, so you may or may not know this. Mace, you I think you worked nearby as well. There was, and may still be there, on Ventura Boulevard in Victory.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's my area.
So there used to be a Pizza Hut. Not like the one you'd go sit down in, had the salad bar, had the whole thing, right? Me and Jason Stewart, what up, Jace 2? We were on the Atkins together.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're both, and so we're trying to, you know, stay responsible to one another. We're trying to make sure that we eat the cheese and the meat and all these things. We discovered that they had a lunch buffet at that Pizza Hut on the corner of whatever that is, Ventura and Victory. We went in there. If it wasn't every day, it was damn near every day.
Are you sure it's a Pizza Hut, not the Pizza Cookery?
It was a Pizza Hut because it was the one that was shaped like the hat. Okay. I vividly remember it.
All right.
And they had all the pizzas laid out under the heat lamp in the middle of the store. And Jay and I would go and we'd scrape all of the cheese and pepperoni and sausage right off the top of the pizza into our plates. Like you were talking, Mace, where you cook up the pepper of the pastrami.
Yeah.
We would have all of these pizza crusts stacked up at our table and just mow through all of the meat and cheese. And it got to the point where when you'd show up to the restaurant, you could see the manager like, these idiots are back again.
Yep. Oh,
they're just good. We would take down 3-4 pizzas worth of just cheese and pepperoni. Yeah.
Mace, they had to change the whole corporation business based off of what Travis was doing.
Yeah. The thing about it is it sounds great. And then after about 3 days, you're like, oh, no, not more meat and
just
cheese
want an apple.
And bacon. And doesn't Morales do this? Didn't he do like the Atkins bacon diet
like
or something like
that? Pound of bacon.
He was doing multiple pounds of bacon.
He was doing bacon and coffee.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I used to go to Starbucks and they would say like, you when you were doing Atkins, you had to order, you don't get it with any milk or you get it with heavy cream. So you're like, can I get an iced coffee with heavy cream?
And right.
Turns it in like a milkshake.
God.
It's delicious.
It's like eating straight fat.
By the way, I just pulled up. Dr. Atkins weighed 258 pounds when he died. Now, I knew him.
What's wrong with that?
Why'd you say it like that?
He was probably 5'9 or something.
Yeah. He was not a tall man, but 258 pounds. Yeah, I don't have no idea. He fell. That's how he died. Mm. He died at age 72, but he weighed 258 pounds. I don't think that diet was working at the end.
No.
Hey, we got the over on 70, I guess. What is the average right now? Are we up to 80 yet for men, Mace?
I heard we were 74.
Okay.
That's it for men?
Yeah.
Women are a little more.
Slightly higher, typically a year or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you take 74 right now, Mace?
By the way, it's 77.
Oh, okay.
So, I'll pass on 74. I'll take 77.
Yeah, 77.
And women are what, 79? Good. Something like that.
Women in the U.S.
Average life
expectancy. By the way, this is one of those things.
By the way, it went down from COVID. Like,
it did.
The last few years, like it dropped like a year or so.
It was taking out the older folks, too.
Yeah, women, 79.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Would you take 79 or you're going to get the over there?
I'm going to go with the over.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in shape. I walk every night.
All right.
How many steps do you walk, Momo?
I go like a mile or two every night.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I started doing that. Was like the best way to lose weight, but also to just anxiety at night. I tend to be like a nighttime anxiety person.
It's a good
time
to do
it. So if I just get out and just get some fresh air, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm at 7,083 steps so far.
Do you wear like a Fitbit, or you just look at your phone, or what are you doing?
I've got one of them Apple watches.
Oh, okay.
You should pace back and forth during the show.
7,000 by this time is pretty good.
Pace, just around. Do laps in your front in your living room to get to 10,000.
He has a 50-foot headset. headset cord.
So Brady, this one stick. Is he done?
Oh, yeah, he's got to be done.
Yeah,
right?
I think he's done.
He basically apologized that we went through this song and dance again. And he said in this one, you only get one big tearful apology once. But this was short, sweet, and farewell.
Obviously, selfie video. I don't think anyone filmed that. Like, I feel
it's
like
a weird angle.
It was a weird angle.
It was a weird angle.
It was like he literally just woke up this morning and said, I'm going to do this.
I think I agree with you guys with one possible exception. I want to save 2%. I want to hold 2% back.
Really?
Yes.
Me too.
What I'm curious what yours is, Ramona, because mine is basically this scenario that we just saw with the 49ers. And I'm not talking about in the NFC Championship game. I'm talking Trey Lance gets hurt. Here comes the backup who you trust, theoretically. He goes down. You've got the running back. You got the coach. You got the wide receivers. You got the lights out defense. I just need you to come in here. You got a great coach and just kind of get us to the finish line right here. I think that's the one very specific scenario that might draw him back.
So you're saying in season?
Late in season, not even like early in season.
I was going to say that next year. I was going to say like not even next year, but a year later. Like he'll go try to do something else for a while.
He's going to be 47 years old.
So what? He can still throw the ball. He's going to stay in shape.
Yeah.
I mean,
why do you think that? But is it out of boredom? Because I was telling Al that I think he's going to be terribly bored doing TV. I think he's going to be bored not competing.
Yeah.
And he's going to have that, I need to go back and try it again.
By the way, I don't know if this is a controversial take. I think he's going to be terrible on TV.
I do too.
I don't think he's got an edge to him.
Nope.
I don't think he's funny. He's a fairly, I mean, at least, you know, in his media, he never makes me laugh.
Okay.
He certainly understands the game better than you know, virtually everybody. But in terms of edge and humor and all that stuff that goes along, I just don't see Tom Brady being a great analyst.
He's got you fooled.
Oh, really?
Yes. I know a little something on this
one. He's a real cut-up?
Yeah, he's good. He's just public persona. He's always just shown this because anything else would be a distraction. But when people who know him, like, you know, people who like really know him and hang out with him say he's really funny and he's got.
They
like
say the same thing about Bill Belichick, right? Yeah. That he actually has a sense of humor that when you're inside the bubble, he's more human than he appears to be. But I've heard that about other people before, and it's not private. It's not with the guys. It's going to be the most public thing he does. He's going
to
be doing it in front of
tens
of millions of
people.
Because
of that contract?
Yes.
That contract's going to be insane.
A lot. Yeah, I think he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be enthusiastic, but I do think he's got an edge to him, and he's sarcastic and funny. And
he's already better than Romo, I can tell you that. I'm so sick of Romo at this point. Shut up, dude.
But guys, Momo, I'm curious what you think about this. Because I agree with you that he might have an edge, that he might have a sense of humor. That my question isn't does he have it, it's is he willing to let us see it?
Let it rip.
That's different.
Does he want to be great at this? Like, do you want to be really good at this? So there's a transition period when you get done playing where, and because I deal with a lot of the former players over there on TV, right? I remember I was in the green room with Chauncey Billups once in Bristol, and we're there. It must have been 10 o'clock at night Eastern, and we're there for like the late night Sports Center or whatever was going on. And we were just kind of hanging out watching the games. And Chauncey was like, he really missed the game. And this was like his connection to basketball still. But I could tell he wasn't going to be long for this job. Like, this was just a stop on the way to coaching or stop on the way to front office work. And it was just a catch a breather. Let's go do TV for a year. And I could tell we talked about it openly. Like, I miss basketball. I love basketball.
Mace, do you think too that he'd be bored by the idea of, okay, I'm flying in, I'm going to talk to the offensive coordinator on Saturday afternoon, and we're going to come and we're going to, it's what he's done for 30 years.
It seems so mundane.
Yes.
Right?
For him.
It seems so mundane compared to what he's done with his entire life and career. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if he's going to have that spark. Just because you're good, I mean, and this has been proven over and over again, just because you're a good player doesn't make you a great analyst. And sometimes great analysts weren't necessarily great players. So I think they're two separate skills. Momo, you're saying he's a cut up behind the scenes.
I think he's sarcastic, kind of, I don't want to say frat boy funny. That's not the right word. but like one of the guys kind of funny. Yeah. Like he can be really sarcastic and
but what's
biting.
One of the guys kind of funny is exactly that. It's biting. It's look. It's yeah. mean. It's a yeah. little bit mean, and guys take that pretty well. They're okay with that. That's yeah. how it works. It's what makes Charles Barkley so good. Charles sure. Barkley gives zero. You know what? He's yeah. just letting it rip. And that's why he's him. He's funny, smart, and all these other things. But he doesn't give a damn. Very few people don't give a damn.
So let me show you how I'm wired differently than you, okay? My first thought when he decided to retire was, okay, so now he basically got divorced because he played this year.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe was the marriage already over before? Mm-hmm. Before he decided to play again, or was the playing again the last straw? And this is where, because my mind is always in like Bravo TV land. Like, yeah, I just no, want to know.
This is in the Bravo verse or whatever.
In the Bravo verse. Like, yeah. What do you think he just played because he was going to be bored getting divorced?
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you
and retired.
Answer your question with another question. Do you really think she's leaving because he played one more season, or was that thing hanging by a thread to begin with?
I think it was hanging by a thread. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think it was hanging by a thread. And that might have been why he came back.
Right.
To distract him mm-hmm. from
like that's what
a
I think now it all
marriage.
Kind of fits together
connects.
Differently
mm-hmm.
like maybe I think he they were getting a divorce probably before he decided to come back, and he's staring into the abyss of retirement and divorce. And you know, some guys go buy a yacht and sail around the Caribbean and do whatever they want to do or play golf everywhere, mm-hmm. but I think Tom was like staring into the abyss being like maybe I'll play again.
And he's the greatest to ever do it, and probably
yes.
the disconnect of leaving is incredibly yeah. difficult. Probably a lot to factor.
Oh,
into
the
it.
Transition's got to be unbelievable. I mean,
especially for him.
Mm-hmm. For him, yeah.
So who's the first one he dates?
Ooh,
who's the first celebrity?
First celebrity he.
Well,
who was that model at the the game?
The two women that he had, obviously his wife yeah. Giselle, and mm-hmm. the other woman that he had a child with, Bridget Moynihan.
Moynihan.
They're famous women. Like he has, yeah. he likes a profile. So I don't
yeah.
know.
What do we think?
Does he go age or roughly his age?
No, definitely midlife crisis. definitely. He okay, at least 10 years younger.
Are we going 30 or below? Because he's 45 years old.
Yeah.
30.
I guess
is he
going to
be
right
Leo DiCaprio?
Yeah. He fires yeah. him when they turn 25.
The cutoff age is 25?
Yeah. Happy birthday. Get out.
Yes.
That's the way it goes. Mason and Ireland coming up next. Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Ah! Well, that's a good old story that Morales has opened that can of worms with. So do you know that story, Momo?
I don't.
Okay.
Really?
This was a pretty famous incident. Bergman, you were definitely involved.
I was definitely involved in all of it.
So Sean McVay would regularly come on to Mason and Ireland, and still does to this day. And for a particular reason, was this story time music?
Yeah.
well,
so
it's a story.
On a particular day, Sean McVay was going on Shadano and whoever he was working. Was he working with Cap then?
LZ maybe?
LZ, right.
Maybe even LZ and Cap. I don't know.
What's going on with those guys? And I got very, very upset. And Shadano did rub my nose in it a little bit.
Okay.
And I got very, very pissed off and sensitive. And I drove away. We walked out on Crosstalk. We just walked. Me and Ireland. Were
and
like,
it was,
right,
and it was like
here.
Real mad, not like fake mad?
It was real mad.
Okay.
It was real mad.
Got it.
And then as we're leaving, and I thought it would be over there. We storm out of crosstalk, blah, blah, blah. Sedano comes after us on his show. And I remember that I sent Chris Morales a text because I thought it got very personal. Now I don't even think there's anything that's personal. It got very personal. And ultimately, I did text Chris Morales and say, "You've lost a friend."
Dang.
Yeah, it was hardcore. What was wrong with me that day, Bergman?
You were really mad that he was going on, that Sean McVay was going on another show, and that's all it was. And like, it was a different time. Like, we just were different shows back then.
We were different shows.
I understand. Sometimes you just get worked up and you get in your feelings about something, and you just feel like people should know if you're really mad or fake mad. And then when they like rub your nose in it, even when you're actually mad, then you just can't.
That's what that was. That was rubbing my nose in when I was actually mad.
Yeah, now, he started the next set, the very first segment of the show, and just going off on you.
Went
just
off.
Being like, off, oh, you would like Steve Mason. This is ridiculous.
It was too much.
It was so much. And I remember I went on the show and I was like, hey, it's like, just relax a little bit. And it was a bad situation.
Were you our producer then, Bert?
I was. Yeah, yeah.
You were, yeah.
Here's what I think about Sedano, though. He is a very good broadcaster.
Yes, I agree.
He is a professional broadcaster, mm-hmm. can call anything.
Yep.
And I think he is actually an extremely nice person.
Yes.
And so then when he tries to go heel,
yep.
like when he tries to go in on somebody or when he tries to like do a hot take. Like the other day he was doing a hot take on... I forget what it was. He was like, some people were criticizing Al Michaels.
He was right.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going in on people criticizing Al Michaels.
Yeah, he went in on me over that. Yeah.
Yeah, he went in on you. And it's a little like when Bill Plaschke goes heel too, because Bill's such a nice guy in the LA Times. So like when he goes heel, it's like, I almost feel like they have to go over the top because it's not their nature.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Sedano is fully admitted that he likes to be a pain in the ass. He even admitted it on Travis and Sleeper today.
Is different though than hot take artist.
He's not a hot take artist takedown guy. He's a
push your buttons guy. And here's the weird thing. I mean, after I think last year or last week there was a dispute with Ireland over something. There was a bunch of stuff going on behind the scenes last week. Bergman, you know, Ireland put something on the air that we originally didn't want to talk about on the air. And he goes, everything goes on the air around here. And essentially that's what it is now. Everything goes on the air around here. And I don't think I'm sensitive now the way I was pissed off then. Do you think the same circumstance would lead to me storming out of the station?
No, absolutely not. I don't think so either.
I mean, if McVay
can go wherever he wants, he goes on Travis and Sliwa all the time, and you don't lose your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Every once in a while, I get like that too, Mace. Don't worry. I get like a little flustered. Like, it's always when I'm overloaded with stuff and juggling, and then somebody does something to like not be nice to me or whatever. There's something that's... And you're just like, I'm not really that upset right now. It's situational.
Yeah, I used to be what my shrink would say, reactive.
Reactive.
I would just react to everything. I would always take the bait. Now I rarely take the bait for the most part.
Yeah.
Now you go after Sedano and say you want to drop him like a bag of rocks.
Drop him like a bag of rocks. Something to say, something to goof around with. They're looking for something funny. I gave it to him. Didn't think about it again. George, I think probably he got bent on that, and that's why he came after me over the Al Michaels thing. Does that make sense? It was coming at me. So... last night, before we get to the Lakers, last night, Lakers win in overtime at Madison Square Garden in New York. Moma, I got a question, and Bergman used to work in a restaurant, so he might know the answer to this. So I was having a debate with a friend of mine. There's something on special at a restaurant.
Okay. Like,
and our special tonight is whatever, blank.
Yep.
Okay. Does that mean that it's really special, like they've created it just for that day, or does that mean... we're down to our last few lamb chops. Let's get rid of them.
It's a version of number two. It means we ordered too much lamb, and we got to figure out how to make up a special dish.
So the lamb's not actually fresh. Bergman, you used to...
it might be fresh. So they just overordered, or they're not selling as much as they need to, so they make something special.
So that's partly right. Yeah, there's some, depending on the restaurant, that is absolutely a thing that happens. But it depends on the restaurant. If it's a super nice restaurant, it is just for that one night. They order just enough, and there's only a certain amount of them. And once they're gone, bang, they're done.
Yeah.
And it's only for that. I used to work at a French restaurant in the Valley in Woodland Hills. It was called, why am I?
Cafe Bizou?
Le Petit.
No, it was on Ventura. Le Petit Bistro? No. No, it was on Ventura and Fallbrook.
Was
and
it a patisserie?
I'm blanking
That's
on
another
it.
French word. A patisserie.
Le Frites. It was called Le Frites.
Oh, yeah.
Le Frites. Yeah, Le Frites.
French fries.
Yeah, the fries. Yeah. And so we would have one. It was every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day had its specific one, but it really wouldn't change more than, it was always the same every day, week to week, but they would order just enough for that day. Yeah. For each day.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So do I order the special or not order the special? At a fancy restaurant,
order the special.
At a lower-end restaurant where I go?
Chili's. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Chili's, don't
Two
do
for
it.
20.
Exactly. They have the Bloomin' Onion every day, whatever that's at.
Oh, yeah.
I was, you know, there's a Postmates restaurant that I go to for sushi sometimes, and they'll be like, buy one, get one free.
Oh, like, no.
Ooh, oh, probably no. Not a good idea.
I've got a great Japanese market up the street from me. I go there, and like after 5 o'clock, you don't want to get your sushi.
Yeah.
Get it before 5. Get it before
Let me plug this in. Sunset Room tonight, steak and lobster for $25.
Is that a special?
Is that right?
It's a special on Thursdays. Only Thursdays.
And say the special again. Sunset Room.
Steak and lobster.
So that probably means that this is
roughly
the last of the steak and lobster for the week before we get our new order on Fridays.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that.
All right,
Sunset Room got some good burgers too. Oh, you want a good burger? Go to Sunset.
Yeah, where
Room.
Is the Sunset? Right, this Tuscan is. Heights. I wasn't invited to this place. This was the 7-10 All Star Game post party, right?
Yeah, you said
I
it
didn't
was
get
just
invited
any
to that.
Other day.
Yeah, it was any other day. I didn't get invited to that.
Would you have gone?
Yeah,
like real? No, honestly, would
oh,
you
yeah.
have gone?
I was feeling it that night. We won the game. I was excited. I was looking to party. Why do you laugh when I say I was looking to party? I party more
it.
Than anybody
I
here.
I feel like that's a drop, Jorge. It's just the way you said it was so good.
Was that pre or post your incident at Clearman's Galley?
Post.
So you were not up to party.
I was. I always party.
Yeah,
every night I party.
But see, is that really partying, or is that you sitting on a couch watching TV?
It's both. It's both. I don't always like lay on the couch and watch TV all night.
Sometimes you lay in the bed and watch TV.
Sometimes I go to a bar. Sometimes
get out of here!
I swear. Sometimes we go to a bar. I got a little buzz on. Tie one on a little bit. Go out to a bar. Juan can drink. I can gummy, and we're having fun.
This is like when you got an email from Northridge because they wanted to give you. You don't go to a bar.
I do. I go to bars.
When was the last time you were at a bar?
I was at a bar last week.
Name the bar.
Yeah.
It was called Kaplan's.
It just happens to be Kaplan's.
It was Kaplan's. It was it's
city?
Owned by
what
it's
city?
Owned by Gabe Kaplan, the actor from What's Up from what was that show?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were
Horshack and
No. He's
no,
talking
no,
about
no.
The one. Welcome back, Cotter.
Welcome back, Cotter. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big
he owns
poker
a bar
player.
Over on Pico, mm-hmm. and I was there last week.
Oh, sure, you were.
What city?
He says in
West
Pico,
LA.
So it's Palms.
Yeah, West LA, Palms. That's about right.
Pictures are
Venice.
Didn't happen.
We're looking it up.
Ish.
Yeah, you go ahead. Look it up. Go ahead and look it up. You don't believe me. All right. Coming up next for you, we will dive into the Lakers. Lakers win last night. Some good takeaways, including what's the best finishing lineup for the Lakers, and LeBron takes another step towards history. We're getting to all that coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So our Pickleball Madness Tournament is coming up in March, March the 18th. If you want to reserve your VIP seat, go to ESPNLA.com today. And Bergman, we extended an invitation to O'Shea Jackson Jr. to come out to our Pickleball Tournament. What was the reaction?
I was looking to party.
That's what he said. So I asked him.
I was looking to party.
So good.
So I said to him, I was asked to ask him, and I said, hey, are you in town on Saturday, 3/18? It's our pickleball tournament. You want to play? And I get a response about 2 hours later of ... Gregory. Yeah. As in, there is no way in hell I am going to that.
I am a major movie star.
But I mean, look, LeBron and KD have a team now. It's the fastest growing sport in America.
It's a big thing.
Wasn't enough.
Is it a fast growing team? Like, so I'm excited.
People are starting franchises and stuff.
I know. I'm excited to do this event, and I think it's going to be great with listeners, and I'm going to try to whack the ball around or whatever the hell. But I cannot imagine ever turning baby tennis on TV and watching it. Can you?
No.
I
feel like this is...
Playing it is different from watching it.
How is it
right?
different than handball? Like, how is it, you know...
Well, it's not. It's different for handball just because there's a paddle.
Yeah. I guess, but you know what I mean? Like, the level of competition in terms of a sport, like, isn't it kind of like watching handball at the Olympics or, like, really competitive table tennis?
Yeah. It kind of is. Now, the event's going to be fantastic. And everybody is invited to come out. Do I think there will come a day when we will watch, you know, the international pickleball championship with LeBron's team versus KD's team? No, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
But it's the same thing with our, you know, our softball tournament. Are you stopping and watching grown men play softball on TV?
No, but I'm watching baseball.
Yeah, you're watching baseball, and when we play softball, you come out and we watch, and we had a great time. Our softball event was amazing.
But that's because it's us.
Well, this is us playing pickleball.
Did you not hear anything I said? I said our event's going to be great.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
Gonna
I
be
was
a
agreeing
blast.
With you.
You're definitely going to come out and hang out. But I don't think someday down the line I'm going to watch Kevin Durant's pickleball team.
Right. I was just basically agreeing with you. We're saying
I think it's a fun
you were agreeing
thing for
with me
celebrity
by
events.
Weren't you?
No, I don't think this is going to be like a year-round thing. I think it's like a new like people in back when I grew up in the 80s and 90s, like everyone's dad would meet at Racquetball World.
Oh God, we played some racquetball.
Right?
Racquetball's fun.
Yeah, racquetball's a great game.
Okay, so like racquetball, pickleball.
Racquetball went away.
Good cardio, it went away. There was a gym called Racquetball World.
Was there really?
Like in the West Valley.
Yeah, that's where
everybody would go. Uh-huh.
I may have told this story, but I've told most of them anyway. Yeah. My dad, we used to play three-wall racquetball at the Lucas County Rec Center.
It's like a triangle, right?
And my dad got really, really, really good. And they had the three-wall racquetball world championships in Oceanside, California, just down the road here. And we were in Toledo. My dad's like, you know, I think I'm going to go play in that international racquetball championship thing. He finished fourth. My dad was like one of the most gifted natural athletes I've ever come across. Just, he could pick up any game and be great at it. And racquetball was definitely one of those. All right, let's get to LeBron. LeBron is down to, 89 points now until he passes the all-time scoring record, passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Last night, triple-double, scored 28 at Madison Square Garden. The Lakers do come away with a win, which was great, in overtime. I thought their late-game execution was, as always, terrible. They could not buy a defensive rebound. It was unbelievable how many of those got away from them. But in the end, it was Russell Westbrook had a great overtime. Looked really, really good. Three assists and a bucket. Knew that his job at that point was to distribute. He did it, and they found a way to win that game. Now, LeBron, 89 away. Momo, Let's see. He's got at Indy, at New Orleans, home OKC, home Milwaukee. Where do you think he breaks the record?
I think it'll be home against OKC or Milwaukee. So
yes.
I think he wants to do it at home. I think everyone involved with this whole thing, with Kareem, the Lakers, everybody would love for it to be at home.
Yes.
So they have Indiana and New Orleans on the road, right?
That's
the,
yes.
Okay, 89 points. If he gets like a 45 against Indiana.
Does he sit at New Orleans?
Ooh, he might do it in New Orleans. Like, if he gets like a 45, I don't think you can. I don't
just
think you
sit.
Can sit.
No, especially not with where they are in the standings,
no,
et cetera.
They need him.
They need wins.
Yeah,
you
is
think
that
he's
going to
go 45, 44? They're not a back to back Thursday, Saturday. Okay. You think he'll go 45, 44?
He could.
I
you know what I think
so.
Is going to happen? When he gets close, they're going to feed him the ball.
Right.
Like, it's like Kobe's
yeah,
game. They're just going to feed him the ball the whole time.
I think it's going to be home to OKC.
Yeah, that
I think
sounds
that's
right
where
to
it's
me.
Going to happen.
Yeah. Which is Tuesday, right?
Which is Tuesday.
And,
yeah.
and this is the part where I let you in on the behind the scenes of
oh,
how
good.
We're all
let
planning.
Us in.
Okay.
Let us in. Invite us in.
Please let it be Tuesday, okay? Yeah. Because Thursday would really suck for us. That's trade deadline day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's the same day. And so I have to do a 5-hour trade deadline special, which means I'll be up at like 5 a.m., 6 a.m. or whatever. And then we have, and then we'll have to do all of the hoopla and celebration of LeBron later that night. Like, that would just be a stupid day.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Get it over with. Do it on Tuesday. Knock it out at home. Let's get it done. Get her done.
Yeah, get her done.
Get her done.
Get
then
her
we
done.
Can clear the way for trade deadline Wednesday and Thursday.
Do you think people people in Los Angeles fully appreciate what LeBron is doing?
No, but I think there has been more attention on this than I had predicted initially. I think it's because he's been so awesome the last month or so. Like, if he had been going, you know, 10, 15 points a game, like, this wouldn't be a big deal. But the dude is averaging almost 40 points a game since he turned 38.
Yes.
Like, he's unbelievable right now. And so because he's putting up numbers like this, there's a build to this that I didn't think was going to be there. There's a build and an excitement level of, like, when is he going to do it? And it's not just a media manufactured created thing. Like, everybody in the league is talking about it.
Yeah, it is a huge story. I was trying to think today. You know, when Pete Rose became the all-time hit, obviously he's Pete Rose now, uh-huh. and we know the trail of shame he's left behind him. But when he broke the all-time hits record, that was a gigantic deal. When he passed 4,000 hits, that was a gigantic deal. I think this is going to be that level big. Now, I put this out on Twitter last week. Does the city of Los Angeles fully appreciate what LeBron is doing for the Lakers right now? How do you think people answered that question? The choices were absolutely or fans don't fully get it.
I think the answer is fans don't fully get it.
60% of people say fans don't really get it.
LeBron is not a legend in L.A. because he's only been here a few years. Like, his best years were in Cleveland and Miami. He won a title here, but it was the bubble title. So I don't think there's the same attachment level to him that people had with Kobe or even Kareem or any of the players who were here for a long period of time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously had huge days. He's playing near peak right now. He's playing near peak, and you know, God knows where the Lakers would be without him at this point during this season. But I think there is still that element in town that's like, yeah, but he's not one of ours.
Yeah, there's that element.
That element does exist. And in fact, if you look at the comments under that poll, a lot of it is, yeah, I mean, it's great, and I admire him, and it's incredible what he's doing, but he's not one of ours. He didn't score most of them here, which I think makes
and
a
I will
huge
say this.
Difference.
I think this is a bigger story nationally than it is locally. Like,
really?
This feels like a big national story right now. But locally, there's always this, you know, he's not one of LA's, you know, main, like, he's not Kobe, he's not Magic, he's not Kareem.
Yes.
Guys who spent very formative years here or all of their careers here. And he kind of never will be. There's nothing he can do to change that. His career is what it is. I've enjoyed because you and I did our little workshop of what's important about this record.
Yes,
and it really is the longevity. Okay.
Yes, it is.
So I was talking to I did an interview with Pat Riley last week. Okay, and talked about Kareem, and then I talked to one of LeBron's high school teammates. His name is Drew Joyce.
Okay,
and he goes, LeBron has kind of always had this discipline to him, and when you talk about longevity, like how do guys not only play till they're 38, Kareem played till he's 41.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of notes we should put on Kareem. Kareem also was 4 years in college. He didn't even play his freshman year at UCLA because you weren't allowed to be on the varsity team as a freshman.
Right.
And he scored some like 3,000 points at UCLA, whereas LeBron went straight from high school to the NBA. So, what if Kareem would have gone straight from high school to the NBA? What about those 3,000?
How many more points
would he have scored, right? But LeBron has always had this discipline to him to where his high school teammate told me, he goes, you know, like he'd come over to your house for a sleepover and he'd like fold up the blanket at your house and make your stack, you know, the room nicer than when he stayed there. And he has this respect for other people's stuff, his stuff. He takes care of his body. He takes care of his life. He's an organized, disciplined person. And I think that's how you create that longevity, is not just the desire to keep playing, but the desire to stay disciplined.
Yes. And I think, I mean, if you think about your own life.
Oh, yeah, I'm a
and
mess.
And where you are right now. And I'm not saying you specifically. I'm just saying you people are listening. You know, the attention to his body is unbelievable. I mean, it's been reported that he spends up to $1 million a year in his body. It could even be more than that for all we know.
Yep.
But it's interesting that this is happening. Tom Brady also, the amount of time and attention he pays to his body. And it's very difficult. I mean, like I went out and walked 7,000 steps, you know, but I won't walk anything tomorrow. Right.
Yeah.
It's like it takes such discipline to take care of your body to the elite level that a guy like LeBron James has.
And For 20 years.
And I've seen video clips of him like kneeling on a balance ball and then lifting weights while kneeling on the – I'm like, are you kidding me? And this is what he does like before the game to strengthen his core. I mean, what the guy does is unbelievable. And I hope, and I think, Momo, the story more than anything is longevity.
Yes.
And it's not just he hung around for a really long time.
Yeah.
It's that he's hung around and he has been great the whole time.
100%.
You could make a case that he's, I don't know, can you make a case that he's past the peak of the mountain?
Yes.
But just a little.
But just a little. Like, he's still really good. Like, when we do lists of the top players in the NBA, okay, I probably put Giannis number one.
Yep.
I might put Bron, too. I mean, Kevin Durant's really good, but so's Bron. Embiid's really good. So's Bron.
Yeah.
Jokic, I mean, he's definitely top five still.
He's legit a top five player in the
league.
Yeah, still.
It's amazing.
It's season 20.
Age 38, season 20.
Extraordinary. All right, coming up next for you, going to spin the wheel of questions. Interesting question today that's coming up next for you. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, here we go, wheel of questions time. And, okay, I like this. What will the world look like in 50 years? What will the world look like in 50 years, Momo?
That's a really good question. I'll do the happy part first.
Okay, do the happy
part. In 50 years, I think that we will have all this AI. I think technology will be in a place that we can't even conceive of now. Like, just think how much technology has changed in 50 years since you've been alive.
That's unbelievable.
Right? I mean, the idea of a cell phone is like, what? I think it's going to be more like Gattaca. Like, we're going to have cell phones in our brain and stuff. I think we're going to have all that stuff is going to be all automated. I hope that technology has led to cures for diseases that affect us all now. I hope that we get through there with cancer or research, et cetera. I do think that we've ruined the planet, though.
Do you think we'll ever turn back?
Nope.
Not till it's too late.
I don't know. I hope technology saves us there, too, but it might be too late.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get lots of, you know, bad storms, droughts, yada yada. All
okay,
stuff.
So I'm gonna turn this to Jorge because Bergman's got a very negative view of the future. Jorge,
what do you mean? Like, go ahead.
You have a very negative view of the future.
I hear you first.
How'd you know what I was? No, go ahead, Jorge. Go ahead.
No, I'm with Mom on this one. I feel like everything's gonna be electric. You know, there's a law that everything's gonna be electric.
Electric cars, all that
so
stuff.
So I think everything's gonna be electric. Jobs are gonna be lost. Now you have self checkouts everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
Everything gets delivered to you now. So I think we're gonna go down that road. Yeah.
Okay, Bergman, give us the worst case scenario.
Oh gosh, here he goes. You know what?
Love that you knew where I was gonna go.
Can you find some Jetsons music?
No, it's not even gonna be that. Yeah. I think you guys are all right. It's all gonna be AI, and there's gonna be a lot of it. We're not going to exist in 50 years.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna go here. He thinks we'll be gone.
We're gonna be gone. Look, AI is gonna take over in 7 years. We're gonna reach singularity in 7 years, and by the time we get to 50 years, it's just going to be robots. There's going to be no more humans left in this world. It is just going to be robots, and we're going to be dead.
See, I think technology is going to be our friend, not our enemy.
No.
I want to live with the Jetsons and not Greg's world.
Yeah, the Jetsons. By the way, I think it's going to be a combination of Blade Runner and Back to the Future.
Yeah, okay.
It'll be a combination
of Blade Runner wasn't great, Steve.
No, Blade Runner was great.
I mean, not for the world.
Well,
sell my condo in Miami now. You know, I feel like that kind of climate change is problematic.
Okay. Yep.
Yep.
So Bergman's terrified of
absolutely
AI.
100%.
Because you saw
a
movie.
Too. I know.
ChatGPT is going to take over so much more than just what they're doing, like what it's doing right now. Already BuzzFeed, it's already taken over BuzzFeed. Humans won't be doing lists anymore, which is fine. But it's going to start taking it over for marketing. It's going to start going over. It's going to be bigger.
No. We've lost BuzzFeed lists.
Can we do Bergman's top 10 signs that the apocalypse has begun? Yeah, sure.
ChatGPT, very close to the top.
So I opened
the apocalypse now.
Hey, I opened ChatGPT and I want to ask a question.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Mark Bergman.
Write a poem about how AI,
the apocalypse,
is going to exterminate the human race. Now, what do you think it'll say?
Oh man.
You are doomed.
Okay, it'll say error, not allowed to.
It's like when you ask Siri.
By the way, I wonder if ChatGPT. Yeah, I'm sorry, I cannot comply with your request as it goes against OpenAI's use case policy, not generating content that is harmful, abusive, or promotes violence.
Yeah.
I can't let you in on the plans.
Exactly what it is, Momo. It's exactly what it is. Yeah, just like when you ask Siri or when you ask Alexa, like, are you listening to me? They're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm way more optimistic about the future. I think technology is going to be our friend. Yeah. I think that there will be, we will see some form of robot or replicant probably in everybody's house by 50 years from now, right? Everybody will be able to have an assistant or a housekeeper or whatever, a gardener. You know, this is, and by the way, to your point, Jorge, I do think robots will wind up eliminating a lot of people's jobs, which is unfortunate. But,
and then the people themselves.
No, and not the people themselves.
Like Megan.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Jorge, you saw Megan. I haven't watched it yet. How was it?
It was entertaining.
Yeah?
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Yeah.
Is she funny?
She is funny, yeah.
I watched a movie last night called You People.
Oh, I wanted to watch that last night. I couldn't figure out what I was watching.
I'm going
to
watch it tonight.
It's on Netflix. It is so good. Jonah Hill is fantastic.
Eddie Murphy.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus and Eddie Murphy are just hilarious in this movie.
I think Jonah Hill is cool. Like, I think he's a lot. I think like we would be friends in real life. I think he's got like he's a Renaissance man kind of guy.
Well, you know, he refuses now to do any press for his projects.
And he's also now he's directing, he's producing, he's writing. He's
he wrote this movie.
Yeah,
with
good.
Kenya Barris. It's really, really good. It's You People, and it's on Netflix. Best movie I've seen in a while.
We'll have another. This should almost be like a segment. This is how Momo is weird and different. So in one breath, I can tell you that my
By the way, I think that's the whole time you're here, how Momo is weird and different.
It's why you fit on the show, really.
So, like, on the one hand, I'm very excited to analyze Tom Brady through the Bravo TV universe of, like, when they were getting divorced. And then on the other hand, I'm also super excited to go home and watch my Danish political thriller when I come
Your
home tonight.
Your Danish political thriller?
Netflix, Amazon.
I'm so excited.
Is that really for real?
It's for real. It's like West Wing, but in Denmark. It's so, so good. It's called Borgen, and they just came out with a new season. And it's like, I learned all about the parliamentary system. And
in Denmark?
Copenhagen. And she's, it's like so good. Yeah, season four just came out. I'm telling you.
Although, you know what's funny? You're watching subtitles, right?
Yeah. But they dub it, too. It's in English.
So I read a story that says, and I always joke about my mom and not stepdad Leo, they have subtitles on all the time, no matter what.
I do, too.
Big Bang Theory,
yeah,
subtitles. So 40% of all Netflix users keep their subtitles on all the time.
Yep. I'm one of them.
Borgman, do you ever do it?
Hell no. I can't do it.
I do, too.
I have it on basketball games even. Like
on basketball? What's the point of the basketball?
I don't
want to
turn it on and off, so I just leave it on all the time.
No, I just have it on movies.
Yeah, I guess this takes me away from the movie or show or game.
I don't need to see what they're saying, especially in a basketball game.
In a basketball game, I don't need it.
Then I have to turn it off and turn it on.
It's a lot of work.
I'd rather just leave it on.
It's no Danish political thriller.
Telling you, don't knock Borgen until you watch it.
By the way, the YouTube stream chat knew right away that I was going to go to being negative.
Yeah. Did they?
Yeah. Watch Bergman bring down the molding on this topic. Where are the humans going, Greg?
Underground.
And when you go, can you please leave enough pistachios at home so I can survive?
Oh, there you go. See? They're all over it. All right. Tell you what. Coming up next, an interesting Bill Walton story.
Oh, I love those.
And think about your favorite band, Momo. Everybody think of their favorite band. Okay. Plus, a world record that me and Ireland may be able to beat. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.